you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Cloudy with patchy fog and drizzle this morning. Partial clearing this afternoon. We're looking for highs in the upper 60s to the mid 70s.
Kevin, Bean.
Mostly sunny today. We're looking for highs in the 60s.
Lisa may be gifted.
F me.
Real mature, Lisa.
And now,
while I was at the courthouse, I had them change your name.
To what?
Chesty LaRue.
Chesty LaRue?
Just try it for 2 weeks. If you're not completely satisfied, you can be Busty St. Clair.
I don't want to be Chesty LaRue or Busty St. Clair.
Fine, Hootie McBoob it is.
Good night, Homer.
Sleep tight, Hootie.
Let go of those.
Our feature presentation.
Off the inbound, Fisher the steal, and that will do it. The series is going back to Boston as the Lakers survive another furious comeback by the Celtics. 103-98.
That's what I'm talking
about. Wow.
Better, I guess?
Yeah.
Better.
You know, it's funny because there's so much talk about, well, now they have to win three in a row. But if you look at it the way the team looks at it, which is we really only have to win tonight. And then we can worry about what happens after that, after tonight. Anybody can win one.
Yeah, I agree. So now
it's already easier to win the next two than it was to win the next three. And if they and if they win tomorrow night, then they've just got to win one to win the whole thing. So it can be done.
It is certainly a team that can do it.
Like Mike said, I can't remember if it was on or off the air last week. Once the 2004 baseball season had the Red Sox down 3-0 in the American League playoffs, and they came back to win and then win the World Series, it proves that anyone can come back from any distance in sports.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
It's very exciting.
Back to Boston for tomorrow night. Couldn't have been more happy last night. Couldn't have yelled more.
You were there, right?
I was there, yeah.
Yeah.
It did seem like the crowd was more into it for this game than they were for the game before.
I don't know. Was it? Because I wasn't at the game before.
Well, I think that there was definitely like a palpable feeling of desperation, even for the crowd.
Right.
You know, like so...
Part of it was they had this thing on the Jumbotron that kept saying, not in our house, which kind of angered me because it's like, all right, listen, you can win the championship there next game. Just don't do it tonight here. And that guy, I was like, no, let's
like,
win tonight.
We're giving up.
Right.
But we're going to wait till next week
we'll
to do it.
We'll give it to you, but you have to take it on your own court. We don't want to see that tonight.
Which is more fun for the team that wins anyway. If
I think so, too.
Sure.
Let's face it.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I had heard that there was a lot of talk, especially in Game 4, how few regular Laker fans were there because a lot of people who even have season tickets, even if they're Laker fans, they can't resist the urge to sell those tickets that are so valuable.
Oh, really?
And there were a lot. There were interviews in the LA Times where they were talking to people who were at the game, who go all the time, who say, yeah, I looked down the row. I didn't recognize a single face in my row from the people I usually sit with.
Oh, that sucks.
And, therefore you get less, less standing up, less cheering, a lot more people who are just kind of there because it's a party.
Right.
And you really count on that home crowd when you're
a lot of wealthy Bostonians too. A lot of, Boston bigwigs that want to come out and see a game.
Yeah, that's a good point. People like Matt Damon, who don't ordinarily go to a Lakers game, but of course they want to be there to see their Celtics. Sure, that makes sense.
It was a little disconcerting to look around and see all the green. I mean, it wasn't overwhelming by any means, but it was a lot more than you would think.
Yeah. What did those tickets go for, do you think?
I don't know.
4 to 5 times face value. And that's what Bean was talking about. It's just impossible to resist. No matter how big.
Well, it's like people who sell their Weenie Rose tickets. No matter how much they want to go to the Weenie Rose, if somebody's going to give them $1,000 for it, they go, well, I'd like to see it, but $1,000, I can buy a new computer and watch it online.
Yeah. $15,000 a ticket for front row seats. You can't, for on the court seats, you can't. There's nothing you could do. I mean, it'd be ridiculous not to.
Yeah.
Well, good times.
Although that was a great game. So excited. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show. It's Monday. It is the 16th of Poon.
Well, now hold on. Not every man likes a big beaver.
That's true. That is true.
Let me tell you who's sad today, by the way, before you move on with today's show. As I was thinking about our poor little friend Psycho Mike today, because at 5 o'clock this afternoon is when it becomes legal for same-sex marriages to marry, right?
Right.
And Mike has just got to feel so stupid that he went out and married a girl if he had just waited a couple of years.
If he'd have known.
If he'd only known this was happening, I mean, he settled for vanilla, and now all of a sudden they're bringing out the banana splits. You know what I mean?
So to speak.
And Mike, you can't, you understand that as much as you want to, you are still legally married to a woman. You can't just run out and marry, you know, Pete Wentz tomorrow if you want to, because it's still bigamy.
All right, but, I mean, how quickly can someone get a divorce in California? I mean, what?
Dude, it's like 6 months.
It is. I mean, I know the process takes a while.
Yeah, unfortunately, we all know. You got to put in the paperwork and just wait for what seems like ever.
Yeah.
You know what? As much as I love my boyfriend, it's going to seem like an eternity no matter what.
Of course it is. But you've been waiting for years. You can wait another few months in order to make it legal.
I've waited my whole life, so I've got a good level of preparation.
Excellent. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. We will speak with Matt Money Smith talking about Lakers Celtics Game 5.
You throw popcorn at him last night?
I did not. I was unable to reach him. So.
Okay.
I love doing that, though. It's trying to screw him up, but just always cracks me up. Let's see. Speaking of gay weddings, we actually have somebody who is going to open. Is it a drive-through or is it just a little? I don't think it's a drive-through.
I just heard like a chapel.
It's like a little chapel.
Yeah.
That they're going to open this evening specifically for gay weddings.
That's great.
So they can kind of move you in and move you out.
Sure.
Just like the honeymoon. Hey, it's going to be huge business for California. I mean, they are just bracing for an enormous influx, much like what happened in Massachusetts. It's going to apparently be great for the economy, which is, you know, good news.
I heard over, I don't know how many years it was, but it's going to give us $68 million.
I heard it's going to take 7,000 cars off the road. Sorry, I don't know what that means.
He just likes to say that.
I do.
No
I love that. I love that. That statistic seems to get thrown around.
You know what took 7,000 cars off the road? By the way, gas prices.
Yeah.
I drove to Costa Mesa yesterday for Father's Day. There was nobody on the freeway, and it was Father's Day. It was
a lot of people walking on the freeway on the 5.
Yeah, well, there's room now.
Bean's got some effed up theory about people being on TV. We're going to check out today.
It's true.
It's not true.
We have a new.
It is true.
We have a new website to introduce you to today.
Okay.
So we'll talk to the guy that created that. We'll talk to Sean Connery about his new autobiography and the fact that Daniel Craig cut off a piece of his finger on the set of the new James Bond movie.
Sean Connery got hurt over the weekend, too, by the way. We got to talk to him.
Video. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, had some sort of golf injury, I understand.
How do you
Those
do
two
that?
Words don't go together.
I know. Usually you don't have a golf injury.
Golf injury. Also, a major concert announcement today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you missed our Ask a Porn Star on Friday,
yes.
It's a lot later in the show than this, we will give you some highlights just after 6.
Nice.
Could you mean vagina?
Yes, I could. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beatnik.
By the way, Kevin, one of the funniest things that happened you did not see last night. Hey, Ralph, good morning. How are you?
Good. Hello. Good. I'm good.
Why is that not working? Oh, you're talking on that mic. All right.
You can talk on my mic. It's fine. Just yell.
Did to me over here. Oh, here I am now.
Now we're better. Yeah. One of the funniest things that happened during the game last night, you unfortunately did not get to see Kevin because you were there at Staples Center. But those of us watching on TV got a big laugh out of this. You know the Clippers commercial that they were playing throughout all the playoffs?
In basketball, anything can happen.
Yes. And for folks who didn't hear us last week, the NBA has decided to take advantage of having a lot of basketball fans watch it and try to sell Clipper tickets as if that's like basketball. Well, last night, I think the network finally had enough of it. Here's what happened as the Clipper commercial began at the end of one of their commercial breaks on the TV.
Funny thing about basketball.
Manning in the fourth. The Lakers.
Nope. They said, nope, not going to run that Clippers commercial again.
Really? They cut it right off.
Cut it right off, like
You're
one
kidding.
Second into it. They said, not going to happen. Too
funny,
much.
Funny thing about bat.
Oh, my God.
I just thought that was so funny, the poor
wow.
Clippers.
Well, they make it sound like it's the best thing ever while you're watching the finals with other teams.
Right.
It's absurd that they would even think of doing that.
Well, anything could happen. That's what they're trying to tell you, man.
What?
The Clippers could make the playoffs next
week.
Funny
thing about basketball, just when you think you have it all figured out.
Like,
just
Clippers
when you
suck.
Think you know what to expect.
The Clippers will
something
suck.
Happens to change the game.
The Clippers won't
and
suck?
And you suddenly realize anything can happen. It's a great time to get in on the action. Clippers season tickets available now. Visit Clippers.com for details.
That takes stones right there. That takes cojones.
Well, they're saying, we know the Clippers suck.
Right.
We know you expect the Clippers to suck next year. But they possibly could someday maybe get into the playoffs. So get your season tickets now. Just in case.
In case that happens
that's
10 years
that's
from
what
now.
They're saying, yeah.
Do we have time to play the other commercial that they're running during the games?
I didn't hear the other one. Yeah, sure.
Funny thing about basketball. Just when you think you've got it all figured out, everything changes. And if you're a basketball fan, you know that tickets for a basketball game can be very expensive. But what if you could see something that's almost like basketball, but not quite? It's a lot less expensive, but if you squint and don't look too hard, it looks something almost sort of like basketball. Clippers season tickets are now available. Sure, the Clippers aren't professional basketball players, but they're really, really close.
Wow.
You saved some honest. They're being honest. They're backing off the hard sell a bit.
Right. Save some money.
Exactly.
Save some money.
There you go. 5:48 Monday morning. Ralph is here. It is time for the Showbiz Beat for a new week. What's going on?
It is the summer of the superhero. Incredible Hulk opened over the weekend. $54.5 million in its debut weekend.
That's way more than anyone thought, right?
Yeah. It's not Iron Man numbers, don't get me wrong, no. But still. Very strong opening weekend for Incredible Hulk. Kung Fu Panda continues to do well. Came in at number two. $34.3 million in its second weekend. Not much of a drop-off there for the Kung Fu Panda.
I went to the movies this weekend, and the kids, oh my God, were the kids lined up as far as the eye could see for freaking Kung Fu Panda.
They love the panda.
They do.
The Happening, in its debut, made $30.5 million. I guarantee you, next week, it'll be much further down in the top 10.
Do you think people were unable to understand it, as we were talking about last week?
Because they just don't get it.
It's too deep?
It represents something too cool and spectacular and amazing for them to understand.
Were the critics unable to understand it?
Yeah, the critics were not kind to The Happening over the weekend.
We actually had a caller on the Afro line talking about that.
Saw The Happening. It blows. There has never been a movie that sucked so much in the history of things sucking than The Happening. They should have named it The Non-Happening. The not going to happen, the never did happen, the M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong blows.
Yeah. Right, so you can see the people loved it.
He's a hack, and I tried to warn you people, but people went anyway.
If people listened, they wouldn't have
gone. A ton of emails over the weekend. I should have listened. What was I thinking? It's horrible. If you don't want to know, is anyone going to go?
No. Probably not.
All right, if you don't want to know, this is a spoiler alert. Turn down your radio for 15 seconds and then come back to us, okay? Go. You know why everyone's killing themselves?
No.
Plants. The plants are mentally controlling human beings and making them kill themselves so they can get the planet back. So we'll stop destroying the planet.
Oh, no.
That's the twist ending.
Are you kidding?
Plants. Plants are mind controlling humans and making them commit suicide.
Real?
That's the ending.
Fans in their car right now say, what?
That's the ending.
Oh, my God.
Shut up.
Hey, that could happen, man.
Too deep for you, man.
Yeah,
too deep.
Too amazing and cool. I didn't get it.
That's awesome.
Effin' shim lime lam lam ding dong.
Effin' plants.
Don't mess with the Zohan. He's in number four this weekend. Indiana Jones, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Number five, Sex and the City. Came in at number six over the weekend. Then Iron Man, The Strangers, Chronicles of Narnia, and What Happens in Vegas. Rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. More stories coming out about the breakup between George Clooney and Sarah Larson.
Oh.
Looks like it may not have been over a boob job after all. And Sarah may not have left George the way we've heard previously. New York Post is saying George has been dating another woman and has been for a few months now. But before he told Sarah about the relationship, he got her some high-profile modeling gigs, let her do some interviews, and got her a boob job.
Oh,
before breaking up with her,
who's like, kind of set
giant size cans?
It's like parting gifts, basically. It's
parting
like those,
gifts,
like one of those game shows when you don't really win the grand prize, but thank you for playing. Here's the home version
here's
of our
some
game,
boobs.
And here's you know, a clutch
so
purse and some other.
He's
stuff.
So cool that even a girl he breaks up with, he goes out of his way to make sure that she's set up for whatever she wants to do next.
Right. Let her get some publicity, give her some modeling gigs, let her go around and do the interview circuit. Kind of raise her profile if she wanted to go on to do other things, and he helped her out with that stuff.
Unbelievable.
He's the man.
And I'm really surprised by that, because a guy like George Clooney, I mean, he's not likely to be able to get another girl to go out with him.
That's true.
You know, he's probably stuck. Like, why would you get rid of, like, the one girl who beat you?
He should hold on to her.
I agree.
What's he gonna... Oh, wait a minute. Tom Cruise is paying big money to keep his family safe, according to In Touch Weekly magazine. The recent copy of In Touch says that he just recently bought a fleet of automobiles and had them outfitted with bulletproof glass and bomb-proofing armor plating.
What?
His cars are now bulletproof and bomb-proof.
Is he moving to Palestine? What's going on?
He's still living in Bel Air, where the hell he is.
What's happening that he needs that?
You don't know, man. You don't know. He's done the research.
Okay.
Furthermore, but his drivers are professionally trained in defensive driving.
Wow.
So he is ready to go. He's good to go.
Is there some threat that we're unaware of?
You don't know, man.
Is there a fatwa?
Just saying. When it goes down, when the S goes down, Tom Cruise is going to be ready.
Okay. I want to be in his car.
It's like it's got a Humvee underneath the Lexus exterior. And, oh, more drama on the hills.
Uh-oh.
What's going on?
According to Star Magazine, Lauren has teamed up with Whitney and Lowe against Audrina.
No.
I have no idea what I just said. But apparently, it's very important to some people.
I think they ask Audrina to move out of
the house. Oh, no, they don't.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, she's been living kind of in the guest house, and she's been kind of growing away, I think, from the other girls for some time. So it was a matter of time. And this Justin Bobby is not good news for her. I got news for you people.
Justin Bobby.
Who the hell's Justin Bobby?
Her boyfriend.
Audrina's boyfriend.
Terrible.
Justin Bobby.
He's goading her to move out.
How can be 98 and female and 8 and female at the same time?
Well, I'd have two first names, by the way.
That's not really his name.
Oh.
It's just he changed it, so now they call him Justin Bobby, his names.
How do you purposely choose Justin Bobby?
His name is Justin or Bobby? He used to go by one, and then he decided to go by another, so they use both just to make fun of him.
Right. What the hell's going on with this show? And you people, more importantly, who are watching it.
It's the hottest thing on MTV, that's for sure.
Well, then it's got to be good. If it's hot and it's on MTV.
No, I'm not saying that makes it good. I'm just saying there are a lot of people who are into it. Who saw Spencer Pratt on with David Letterman on Friday night?
Oh, God, I did not.
Well, we don't have time right now, but let me just give you one second tease, and we will get to this at some point on this week's Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Spencer.
I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know about how that went.
Even just listen to the way he says it.
Oh, does that mean that he's actually gotten that to show up at a club that they've paid
for?
Sure.
Oh, yes.
Man. Yes.
Ralph did the story last week about how he and his hoe bag have made, over $3 million since they became well-known on the hills? And that's part of how they do it.
I won't go to a club now for less than
$100,000.
Dude. That's so cool.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know, man.
Did Letterman just spit in his eye?
Well, you can imagine Letterman hated him. Oh. Hated him.
I know. That's why I love Dave. He's not really good at hiding his contempt when he has these people on. Like we had Paris on, and he kept grilling her about prison. What do you eat there? What do you get? Like a bologna sandwich? What do you get? I don't want to talk about it anymore. I know, but I do.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. Oh, last night, I know a lot of you were watching the Lakers-Celtics game. Whatever. I was tuned into the Tony Awards, hosted by Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh!
Yeah, you were watching that.
No, I kid.
Yeah, I know.
No one watched. No one.
Lisa, did you even watch?
Wow.
No one cares.
I haven't seen any of these shows.
America yawns. America yawns.
But I would think you would want to watch it, Lisa, because they on the Tonys do like they do on the other shows where they perform some of the scenes from the plays on TV?
No.
I would think you'd want to see that. Some of the musical numbers?
No. Okay. Dude, if she doesn't want to see it,
I like award shows anyway, so even
fantastic.
If it's for something I love.
Let me tell you something about the Tony Awards, how bogus they are. The big winner of the evening, picking up a total of 7 Tony Awards, was South Pacific.
From
a
the
musical,
1940s?
A musical originally done in 1946.
How does it win all new awards
now? Because they put it back up on Broadway again, they just launch it again, and then it gets a ton of awards.
They have Best Revival category. I think.
That was one of the 7 it won, besides Best Musical, Best Actor, Best Actress. And it's 60 years old.
Yeah, they need to stop it.
Doesn't make it not good.
It makes it bogus. All of a sudden good, though, either, Lisa.
But it does make it bogus.
Yes, that does.
But it does show how poor the theater is today if a 60-year-old play can come along and kick ass of anything else that can be written and staged.
Oh, dude, lame.
And in case you missed it on Friday, the R. Kelly child porn trial is over. And the verdict, not guilty.
Yeah.
On some of the counts.
Not guilty on all 14 counts.
F*** that guy. What do you need him for?
After seven and a half hours of deliberation, the jury came back and said, we just can't convict him. Bye-bye, R. Kelly. Enjoy your day.
We expected this, didn't we? I mean, that's what we've been saying on this show for months.
But how does a guy...
There's no evidence, Kevin. It's not like there was a video or anything.
I mean, it would have been illegal for us to see it, but there's video of him doing it. How does he get out of that?
Yeah, one juror said there was nothing concrete enough to say it was him or her on that tape.
Except everyone who testified?
Except everyone said it was her, and everyone said, hey, look, that's him.
Look, I understand that the girl changed, and one of the jurors said she looked too curvy to be 13, and he wasn't sure that it was her. But R. Kelly looks exactly the same as he did 6 years ago or whenever it was. I mean, you can look at the guy on the tape and then move your eyes 10 feet to see the guy sitting behind the defense table and see that it's the same guy, right?
Five jurors talked to TMZ after the case and said they absolutely believed it was him on the tape, but they couldn't reach a guilty verdict because they said there wasn't enough evidence to prosecute.
Wow.
These people have a flimsy grasp on the judicial system, I think.
Is there any better evidence than actual videotape of the crime?
Nope. That's better than a confession.
Apparently, because the chick wouldn't testify, that was the thing that broke the back of the whole case.
So he was allegedly able just to pay his way out of it.
Apparently, yeah. Also, I don't know what the breakdown on the jury was. I think Bean told us it was nine African-Americans and three whites or something.
I think it was eight black, four white, nine men, three women. I think that was the breakdown.
But apparently, by all accounts, after the trial was over, there was nine people just browbeating the other three jurors to say that he was not guilty to acquit. I was just wondering what the breakdown was there, sex and race.
I don't know.
It would have been interesting to know.
It's interesting. The defense was obviously good. They said, if you convict this little girl, you're calling her a whore. That's one of the things that they said in their closing argument. You're calling her a whore. If you convict
her, brand her a whore forever.
Yep, exactly.
I think the videotape may have taken care of that.
A very wet whore, you will brand her. She is damp. She will be damned as damp forever if you don't agree.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised, but I was certainly saddened by the news.
He was the one who called it the whole time. Yeah, I think he's going to walk. Yeah. He's going to walk. He's going to walk.
He's our freaking Kelly.
I'm so tired of this justice system that's slanted toward black people and whites get the shaft.
They always get off. Yeah, you're right about that, Kevin.
Man, that's ridiculous.
Why are our prisons filled with white people and the blacks just walk? Enough already. No justice, no peace.
That's what I'm saying.
It's always the blacks. Today's celebrity birthdays. John Cho.
Mike, is it going to be difficult for you to see the other happy homo boys being able to get married starting tomorrow here in the great state of California?
It'd be torture.
I mean, seriously, you're stuck with a breeder, and you're going to see all your friends out there getting married because they can. It's got to be nothing but painful for you. Well, there's a new industry that has sprung up. As you can imagine, this is going to be just a gold mine for West Hollywood and all over California as people from around the nation rush to get married starting first thing tomorrow morning. And we're very excited to welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. She runs the Hollywood Chapel. I haven't heard much about this, but I'm looking forward to finding out more. Lorelei Starbuck joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. Good morning, Lorelei.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Good.
That has to be your dancing name. There's no way someone's named Lorelei Starbuck.
No, it's my name from birth, really, truly.
How about that?
Your parents are effed up. I like that.
So, Lorelei, what were you doing prior to the Hollywood Chapel, or is this something that has been around for a long time for the heterosexual couples, and now you're just advertising it anew because of the new law?
No, I've been doing weddings all over Southern California for, like, the last couple years, and then I also owned a wedding chapel in the big city of Las Vegas for quite a while.
Oh.
So, we were wanting to open a wedding chapel for the longest time, and we've been looking for about a year and a half for the right location. This location opened, and literally the next day the Supreme Court decision came down. So it was really fortuitous for us, but at the same time, you know, it's obviously profound for everybody else because of the money that it's just going to generate, not only for us, but for everybody in California.
Sure.
You know?
So you're telling me that you were looking for a location for a wedding chapel, and you found one on Santa Monica Boulevard. Boulevard in West Hollywood, and then they passed the gay law?
Yeah, it was the strangest, freakish thing, because we had been negotiating all over. We were on Venice Beach. We were in Santa Monica. We were on Hollywood Boulevard, you know, down on Vine. We were everywhere, and nothing would go through. And my partner, Michelle Gold, she came up with this location and called me and said, you got to come look at this place. You got to come look at this place. And I was not too excited about it when I walked in it, but bam. Literally the next day after we signed the lease.
That's amazing. Yeah. Now, what's the difference between this wedding chapel and the ones in Vegas?
Well, I think it's really a big difference because pretty much in Vegas, it's, you know, it's like a procession. It's come in, you get married, you go out the door. You know, you come in the front door, you go out the back door.
Right.
And
vice versa, depending on the gayness issue.
In the gay wedding chapel, they can only come in the back door, though, right?
Yeah, well, I guess. I don't know. You don't have to talk to them about that. But, no, you know, we're a little bit more honoring. We're giving each couple, you know, an hour, doing great pictures, videos, you know, flowers, the whole nine yards.
Oh, so it's kind of everything all in one spot.
Yeah, they can, you know, plus the marriage license. We also are going to be able to issue marriage licenses on the spot. So, you know, we don't discriminate against heterosexual couples. If you're Klingons, you can get married here. If you're, you know, vampires.
That's good news for the Klingons.
I've married them all, so everybody is welcome at the chapel.
That is new. I had not heard of a chapel before that actually handles the marriage license as well, because I'm one of the guys who did elope to Las Vegas and got married at one of those little, you know, chapels in and out in 5 minutes, and you had to take a special trip to the courthouse to get the license and then go over and get married. You had to do it in two different locations, but you managed to do it all under one roof.
Well,
huh? That's cool.
That's why it's so much easier here in California, because my partner and I are both authorized notaries, and what that means is that we are authorized by the state of California and the city or the county of Los Angeles to actually issue marriage licenses. So, you know, a couple can come in, they can fill out the marriage license application. They can do that online as well on our website.
Yeah.
They can fill out the information online, and the marriage license is waiting for them. When they get here, we marry them, take some pictures, give them some flowers. Everyone's happy.
Lorelai, what about a blood test in California? Aren't the laws different in California versus Nevada for that too?
No, there's no blood testing requirements in the state of California. It's so easy to get a marriage license here and to get married. It is easier to get married here than it is in Las Vegas, because you don't have to wait in line at the courthouse unless you want to, unless that's something you want to do. But you can actually, you know, come right in and get it done. No blood tests, no waiting for anything. You know, it's wham,
okay.
Bam.
We're talking to Lorelai Starbuck, by the way, who is the officiant at the Hollywood Chapel. It's thehollywoodchapel.com is the website address.
Yep.
And you've got a ton of different specials. I mean, you do Halloween weddings and Star Trek weddings and freak weddings, dominatrix weddings. Are you coming up with anything special in anticipation of, I mean, are Brokeback packages available? I mean, what kind of stuff are you doing for the gays tomorrow?
That was low. No Brokeback specials, but yes, you know, we are definitely honoring the gay and lesbian community and someone's yawning.
Yeah. No, that's not yawning.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're going to, we have a great special that includes everything from a video to flowers to, you know, the marriage license, the whole nine yards if somebody wants the entire package. Or we're doing our Wham Bam Thank You Ma'ams, where you can walk in with your license, get married, get six pictures for $125. Now that's
how about that?
That's a value. Yeah, you're not going to get that anywhere. And that's, you know, in celebration of tomorrow. Because I know a lot of people, you know, are going down and getting married at the courthouse, or they're getting married on the, you know, on the steps down there in the grass. And, you know, I think it's something more than just doing it to be doing it. You know, it needs to be a little bit more special because it's a day they're getting married.
Now, let me ask this, because it seems like both sides of this argument are fighting back and forth. It seems like any day the other side might make it illegal again, or I'm not following it that closely, but are you feeling kind of a rush of people saying, I need to take care of it right away?
Well, that's definitely an aspect of it, yeah. And it is, they did get enough signatures to get it on the ballot on November 7th. And yes, the electorate can, you know, can say, no, we're not, you know, we don't want same-sex marriages. But my God, the financial impact on California is so incredible.
I heard like $60 million over 10 years or something.
I mean, it's crazy. It's just crazy. And there's really no reason for California to snub its nose at this. The financial impact is going to be incredible in all areas of California, from, you know, apple growers to walnut farmers, you know, everything in between. Everybody is going to benefit from this. And there's no reason to, family is not breaking down because gay and lesbians are being allowed to get married, The statistics are just not there to prove that out. In the other countries, it just isn't there,
Yeah, but they're foreigners. You can't really look to them for any kind of precedent. Hey, Lorelai, this may be a question that's outside of your area of expertise, but you probably are more knowledgeable on the gay wedding issue than Kevin and I are. If it is on the ballot for November and it is overturned and the gay marriages are no longer legal in California, what happens to the ones that you do starting tomorrow throughout the summer? Are they still valid or do they become null then?
Well, obviously I'm not a lawyer, but I would say that if it's overturned, they would become null.
Wow, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean,
that's going back to square one. Isn't
that's
it?
A bummer.
Yeah, that. But there again, the voting public, about 62% in the state of California are for same-sex marriage. So and we have to go out and vote. Yep. We have to keep it legal because there's no reason not to. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, a lot of people, of course, disagree with that on what they would consider moral or religious grounds, too. I mean, it's not as clear as an open and shut case for some people. I understand how it can look that way from your perspective,
yeah.
But there certainly are people out there that disagree. The HollywoodChapel.com is the website. The location is 7710 Santa Monica Boulevard in West Hollywood. Do you need to make a reservation or is it just a swing on by, Lorelai?
They can stop on by. We do need reservations because we are expecting a lot of people, so they can call. They can go online and book a wedding online. They can stop in and we can, set them up at the same time. So we encourage them whatever they want. Give us a buzz, go on the website, check it out.
Fantastic.
Okay, last question for you. Do you make copies of all the lesbian first kiss pictures? And if so, is there going to be like a special website maybe or a DVD or something like that you can work on for us?
Too hot for the wedding photos.
There you go. Too hot for my wedding. Yeah.
Laura, Ralph Garman joins us on a Monday morning. Take a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Argar?
Snoop Dogg's wife was arrested for DUI down in Orange County this weekend. Police in Fullerton say the wife of Snoop Dogg was arrested for investigation of driving under the influence of alcohol.
Hmm.
Isn't that a sweet way of saying she got popped for drinking and driving?
Yeah.
You see the mugshot, huh?
No, I didn't.
We were a little bit surprised, to tell you the truth.
Shantae wasn't looking so good?
Well, yeah, it's probably not her best moment.
Right.
No, probably not. And you think the dog father, you think he could, score.
Well, they've been married for a long time. They've got three children together. She's 32
That's true.
Years old.
What are you
old.
Saying, Bede?
He thinks
I'm
she
just
should,
saying,
he should trade up. I'm sure.
I think it's time.
Reportedly, Orange County Attorney's office will charge her with being gin and juiced while driving.
Hey!
See?
Oh, how does he do it? He doesn't know!
Bam!
Today's celebrity birthdays. No.
Whoa, that was fantastic.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies of the box office, shall we? The Incredible Hulk was very powerful.
Yes.
In its debut.
Yes.
$54.5 million.
Anyone see it? Anyone in the room have a chance to check it out this week?
Nope.
Did not.
No.
No time.
Kung Fu Panda was number two.
Hey!
$34.3 million. Pretty strong for a second weekend.
Yeah, no kidding.
The Happening in its debut is number three. $30.5 million. Suckers! When will you learn? M. Night Shyamalan.
I hear the first 20 minutes is good.
Yeah. Then the other 2 hours?
Well, there's your problem.
Make you want to stab knitting needles into your eyes? Don't Mess with the Zohan is number four at the box office. Zohan. Indiana Jones, Kingdom Crystal, Skull.
Huh?
Five. Six, Sex City. Seven, Iron Man. Eight, Strangers. Nine, Chronicles, Caspian. 10, Happens Vegas. Moving on. Oh, Joel Madden.
Yes?
Posted on his website this weekend. We did it. Nicole and I finally got married. Of course, they're referring to Nicole Richie. Mm-hmm. Click here for the pictures, and when you click on it, you see a picture of a wedding cake and then two gorillas dressed like a bride and groom. Psych!
That guy. What do you need him for?
They didn't get married. It's a gag.
Yeah. Really?
Funny.
Apparently, not a good gag. It was a Star magazine reported they were getting married this weekend, so the good Charlotte singer simply said he was playing a prank thanks to those erroneous reports, and they are still not married. However, people said the gorilla in the wedding dress looked better than Nicole. So, he's got that going for him. He's a prankster.
He's crazy.
Oh, Joel. You give me a stitch. New photos of Miley Cyrus.
Oh, dear God.
Risque photos of her lying on, or under, rather, a dude on a bed. By the way, these are not the same photos as last week's photos, which were with her another guy on a bed.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd love to get a copy of that.
Oh.
no one knows who is releasing these photographs, but this is about the fourth round of risque internet photographs Miley's had to deal with, so...
There is a new way to get a facial.
Come on.
Oh, what is wrong?
Oh, my
15.
God.
Stop
that. That's ridiculous.
She's 15.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
That's ridiculous.
Stop it.
I agree.
Katherine Heigl continues to make news. According to the New York Post, Katherine slammed on the show's writers when she said that she wasn't given the material to compete for an Emmy last week. Is actually her way of asking to get fired from Grey's Anatomy before her contract
was up. Like
sure, because she wants to do her movie career.
She has no shortage of movie roles waiting in the wings, and apparently the TV show is now just getting in the way, according to Katherine Heigl.
I hope to God they don't let her out of her contract. I hope they make her stay on the show and put her in a coma, and she has to show up every week and just lay in a bed.
That'd be great.
Be the best.
Is Izzy okay? I don't know. Let's go look. Just beep, beep, beep. Just shots of her. Can you just use the same shot for next week? No, we're going to need to shoot this all over again, Catherine.
Yep.
Why don't you come back tomorrow? It'd be great.
Well, you do one scene of every show in her room.
Exactly. Everyone's just talking around her.
That's right.
She lays there. Speaking of television, I want to give you the heads up. Tonight is the season premiere of Weeds on Showtime.
Yes.
Yay!
That
was
a good show.
One of our favorite shows. Followed by a brand new show, which I'm very much looking forward to, called Secret Diary of a Call Girl. Starring one of my crushes, Billy Piper, a very talented and sexy British actress. That's on.
Is this another? Excuse me, Ralph. Is this another British import, or are they redoing this for America? Or what's the story on this?
I believe
this show
is a simultaneous project with airing in England and here as well, like Extras was. Extras was on in England with Ricky Gervais and also on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the same situation with Showtime and Secret Diary of a Call Girl.
Okay,
so you can check.
She seems hot.
She's way hot. She used to be on Doctor Who. That's where I first fell in love with her.
Hey!
BBC's Doctor Who.
Doctor Who is that kind of who. It's W-H-O,
Mike. Yeah, it's not H-U. It's W-H-O.
Doctor Who.
My bad, dude. Hair trigger.
He was thinking of President Who.
Yeah. And Coldplay's new album was released on Thursday in the UK, speaking of England. As of yesterday, Viva La Vida or Death and All His Friends is at the top of the British album chart. In just 3 days, the album has sold 302,000 copies.
You know how I know you're gay?
Yeah.
You like Coldplay.
Hey, come on.
That's big in Britain, isn't it?
It's huge.
For 3 days?
Number. Yeah.
It was, it's beating sales of the rest of the top five artists combined on the top 10 list over there. New Coldplay will be available here tomorrow, of course, and we'll probably debut at number one of the Billboard charts, so we'll keep an eye on that for you, but good stuff.
Coldplay takes over K-Rock this afternoon at 5 o'clock,
what?
Playing the songs that they want, and then you can hear all of the new Coldplay album tracked in its entirety without commercials starting at 6 o'clock this afternoon here on K-Rock.
Coldplay, they play what they want?
They do.
Is that what they're saying?
That's their slogan.
That's aren't they at the wrong station, then? If that's the case?
They should go down the hall.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Laurie Metcalf. Very talented actress. You know her from Roseanne. She played her sister on that show. She's been in a bunch of movies, too. She's 53 years old today. John Cho.
Hey!
From Harold and Kumar is 36 years old. And Missy Peregrim from Reaper.
Ooh.
I haven't heard yet the final decision on whether Reaper will be returning on the CW or not next season, but
I like that show.
I hope it will, because I really enjoy that show.
I'm afraid of it. 1 hour from right now, we'll talk to former sports guy of the Kevin Amin Show, Matt Money Smith, of course, with the Laker radio team now. We got that on the way. Also, a new website that may help you decide whether to break up with your significant other, because that's what you need the internet for. You can't make a decision like that without some help from total strangers on the internet. That's for sure. And, of course, a major concert announcement coming up for you in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, our old friend Sean Connery, the original James Bond in the movies, is back in the news for a number of reasons, and I believe producer Alex has lined him up for us on the phone. Good morning, Sean.
Well, if it isn't Fred and Wilma. Hello, Stones.
Oh, wow. Mr. Connery, first of all, it's great to talk to you again this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, but how are you feeling? We understand that you had some sort of an injury playing golf over the weekend, or what happened?
Yes, there's been a lot of stories in the press about what's happened to me. Some people say I fractured my ankle, but in reality, I just had a little bone chip in my shoulder. I'm in a sling, but other than that, I feel fine.
And you did that golfing?
Yes, it was while I was golfing, but someone walked across the green while I was putting, and I had to beat the out of him. And while I was pummeling this mother turning his face into pink mist,
right?
I chipped a bone in my shoulder before he died.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Before I took my putter and stuffed it up his hole.
Wow.
So at 77, you beat a man to death on the golf course for walking on your green.
Yes. Don't walk on the green when I'm putting.
Okay, that's right. Important lesson.
The moral of that story.
All right.
Speaking of injuries, you're not the only James Bond who's been hurt recently. We understand that Daniel Craig, who is the current 007, had an injury on the film set the other day. And I know we've talked to you about this before. It seems like the Quantum of Solace is a little bit cursed.
It is cursed. First of all, it's cursed with the name Quantum of Solace.
Right.
Which blows.
Right.
It's no Goldfinger.
No,
that's true.
But apparently he cut the tip of his finger off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you can understand how something like that can happen. Some of the stunts are pretty outrageous that they attempt in these new movies.
Oh, I cut my finger off. Oh, I'm so sad. Send me to the hospital. What a I just feel bad for the other guy.
Who's the other guy?
Well, the guy they had to retrieve the tip of his finger from his
Oh, Sean.
Apparently, that's how it came off.
Sean, no. We got to watch our language if you
some
don't mind.
Was going on.
Yeah, we understand what you're
some
saying.
Gay
we get it.
That's what I'm insinuating.
Right. We
he
get that.
He had his arm stuffed up a guy's
all right. We got
I don't think that's, it, really. That's not what happened at all, by
and
the
apparently
way.
The just snapped his finger right off.
That is not at all what happened.
Why do you hate this Daniel Craig so much? A lot of people think he's been the best James Bond in a long while.
A lot of gay people think that, yeah. He's too Nancy. He's a Nancy boy with his pretty face and his sculpted muscles. Well, look at me and my Speedo in the water. It's James Bond for the
All right, Sean, one more thing while we have you on the phone. I know you've got a lot to say on a lot of topics. Is it true that you're finally going to put it down in writing and unveil your autobiography later this year?
Yes, people have been after me to write a story of my life for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally I've buckled to the pressure, and I will be talking, releasing my book at the Edinburgh Book Festival August the 25th, which is also my 78th birthday, so I'll be talking about the book then. It's called Being a Scot.
Being a Scot.
Yes, which I'm Scottish.
Right, sure.
And so it'll largely be about that and about f***ing
Sean, what is wrong with you?
What? That's, it's about my life.
Okay.
I spent a lot of time in my life f***ing girls in the
Oh, but you can't write it. Nobody wants to read about that. That's
I do.
Some people do.
I'd like to read about that.
But they wouldn't let me call it
No.
What a shock.
Yeah.
So I'm calling it Being a Scot instead.
Okay.
Would you like to hear a little bit from one of the chapters?
Oh, yeah. You got it there?
Yes.
Yeah, read it to us.
Chapter 17, Galore. Did you just beep that? Did you beep that?
Yes.
That is the name of a character from a James Bond movie.
Right, but you're just, we got to watch your language.
But you shouldn't beep that. It's her name. It doesn't, it's nothing sexual.
All right, okay.
All right. Chapter 17, galore. I was so much back in the days in the 60s when I was James Bond, you couldn't believe it.
Come on.
My rarely saw the light of day.
We can't put that on the air.
It's Kevin Meach on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, 720 on the morning after Game 5. Lakers stay alive, heading back to Boston. You know, it's funny. I think I read the other day, Kevin, you would know this. You're the Lakers stat guy.
Mm.
Derek Fisher is the all-time leader in three-pointers in the NBA Finals. Is that true? Or close to it, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know that statistic.
It was unbelievable last night, that one where he fell over while he was throwing it.
Yeah, and still made it.
And still made it. Yeah. The guy's amazing. You want a guy like that in the finals, but very exciting basketball last night.
Here was Kobe on the court after the game.
Heading back to Boston, you know the Celtics are very good at home. What makes this team confident that they can do what's never been done before and make NBA history?
Because, you know, we went on the road before. We played in tough environments before. We shot the ball like crap in Beantown the last two times, so we're due.
We're due.
All right.
I didn't see, you know, they do the celebrity roundup at one point. I didn't see Eddie Murphy this time around. I didn't see David Beckham this time around for Game 5.
Hmm.
And for some reason, they didn't put you up on the screen either. I didn't see you at the game
last
night.
Not much of a celebrity, but...
Apparently, you were there, though.
Although, I was sitting right near Adam Yauch of the Beastie Boys.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. And it was really weird when the Laker girls came out and they started playing Girls.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes...
The Beastie Boys song?
Yeah. He just goes, great. So at some point early in the night, I said, you are not by any chance a Boston fan, are you? And he said, Yeah. Oh.
Why is he a Boston fan?
I don't know. I know he's New York. I don't know. I don't know why.
So
he's
maybe he hates L.A. more than he hates Boston, I guess.
So I flipped him off. I didn't talk to him the rest of the night.
Good for you.
He's also coming into our station on Wednesday. So that's
I was going to say, that might be a little frosty then when he shows up as a guest on our radio show in a couple of days.
No, he's got a great sense of humor. He's very funny. But when I showed up at the game, I was pulling in my car to park, and some crazy dude was banging on my window. And I looked out, and it's some nut job with a coonskin cap and like a long fur coat, kind of like a cape.
Okay.
In Lakers colors and aggressively ridiculous facial hair. And I rolled down my window, and the guy says, "Feeling you, Laker fan!"
It wasn't. It wasn't Vic the Brick.
Yes, it was.
Oh, my God.
And he was just walking up and down the street to cars that were waiting to park, just introducing himself and saying hi.
You're kidding.
I think there's just too much spirit in him. He couldn't handle it.
Oh, my God.
Let me tell you something about Vic. We've made fun of him on and off over the years, especially when he used to do sports on the old Rick D show back on KISS, back before Rick passed away. And the one thing I'll say about Vic is I used to think that he was just a tool and it was an act. But now I've come around and think that he actually is sincerely that guy.
Yeah.
He really is so passionate and loves the Lakers so much that he just can't stop, you know, behaving that way.
100%. It's just like Jed the Fish. As soon as he gets off the air, it's just the same. There's no change.
Yeah, it's not an act.
You talk to him in person. You say, "Hey, Vic, what do you think about the game later today? I will harness the chi of Lamar Odom, the warrior spirit, Mr. Psycho Mike." And you're like, whoa.
Like, we're not on the air, but that's who he is. It's just so bizarre. He gave me the peace sign and just walked on to the next car.
Wow.
I heard that Kobe was actually really excited to see him after, what was the game they blew hard, right? Lost the big lead and stuff. I hear that Kobe was so excited to see Vic because he knew he was going to be the only guy who was going to be able to put a positive spin on it.
Oh, my.
The only guy who's going to be able to have something good to say about that performance, because he just is so optimistic.
It's funny, too, because he's kind of supposed to be kind of a journalist.
Yeah,
so
he is.
So sort of you're supposed to kind of try to tread middle water and not come down on one side or the other. But he just
he doesn't care.
He's like a retard. He's unable to break out of it. He just can't do it.
But doesn't he dress in all sorts of crazy like Laker outfits and stuff?
Yes, nutty hats and crazy capes and all kinds of weird. He's just bizarre. And he was not okay with the fact that my window was up. He wanted me to bring my window down now so he could say, "Feeling you." He's walking up and down the street just doing his little thing. "Feeling you, Laker fans!"
Oh. Who wears a cape in 2008? Let's talk about the short list. There's superheroes, and there's Vic the Brick, and that's about it, right?
Yeah, like a coonskin hat and a cape.
That's his Lakers,
this guy
rules.
That's the best.
He's horrible, but great. I love him. All right. Anyway, Lakers won. They're going tomorrow night. They are going to be game 6 in Boston, and we will talk to Money just after 8 o'clock this morning about that.
Okay.
And I think everyone agrees, including the Lakers, that they have to play better than they did last night in order to win in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much.
So that's talk about your back against the wall.
All right. Let's talk about the concert announcement that we're going to make. We have another way for you to see Jack Johnson.
Ooh. Oh, fantastic.
Of course, we made the announcement that he is going to be coming to UCLA and Verizon Wireless. We're going to give away tickets for the Verizon show, which is August 29th. UCLA is August 31st, and we're going to give away tickets for that all week long. And every day at 8, noon, 4, and 8,
yes,
kind of like last week, you get the tickets. You also get a custom autographed Jack Johnson surfboard, and you get to have a barbecue with Jack.
Oh, no kidding.
And he makes what he wants on that barbecue.
That's what I understand about Jack.
So you have to eat whatever he makes.
All right.
But he is every bit the coolest guy you think that he would be. Like, you can look at certain people and go, "I would love to hang out with that person."
Right.
Because they seem like they'd be cool. And a lot of times you're disappointed. Not with him. He's just that guy.
Yeah.
So every hour you win tickets to one of the Jack Johnson local Southern California shows. And then 4 times a day at 8, noon, 4, and 8, you also get the custom.
When's that band going to put out some new music, you know?
I think tomorrow, actually, is the new Coldplay.
By the way, Coldplay takes over K-Rock at 5 o'clock this afternoon. The band will be playing whatever they want because that's how they roll. And then at 6 o'clock, why not hear the new album Viva La Vida in its entirety without commercial interruption, starting at 6 p.m. today on the world-famous K-Rock.
All right, let's introduce you to a new website. It is called ShouldIBreakUpWithHer.com.
We have
the creator on the phone. Zach, good morning.
Kevin and Dean, Lisa, how are you?
Good.
Very good.
Awesome.
Zach, why did the world need shouldibreakupwithher.com?
I think you know, we're not all lucky enough to be dating a woman like, you know, Jessica Drake, you know?
Yeah, well.
You know, maybe we're unfortunate enough to where our you know, wife is charged on DUI, so...
There's that.
In life.
So what guys do is they, and you have a girl version of this too, is that right?
I do. We have obviously we have shouldibreakupwithhim.com and shouldibreakupwithher.com. You know, we're trying to keep it you know, neutral.
So basically guys and girls can go on there and anonymously kind of tell their story, and then other people vote, and you can see the vote, you know, what the guys thought, what the girls thought, and then is it legally binding? How does that work?
No, not legally binding. Just, I think, good information. I mean, you know, we all have friends who give us advice, and, you know, this is just to sort of support, you know, that advice and get some objective and honest advice in a very easy way.
But what kind of person cares what internet users think about his relationship? I mean, it's one thing to take advice from your friends because maybe you have some reason to think that they know what they're talking about and they know you and maybe they know the girl. But what do I care whether anyone out there knows about my relationship or not?
No, I think that's a good question. I think that, you know, everyone comes from their own different perspective, and sometimes one's perspective can sort of shade, you know, some objective reading.
Right.
And so sometimes it's nice to have 20, 30, 50 people who you don't know, who are not affected by those, you know, sort of personal relationships around you, just to get, you know, cold, honest, you know, feedback.
And sometimes your friends are sick of hearing about your relationship. Yeah. You have to go someplace else.
Here's one of them that's on the site. My girlfriend is getting phone calls late at night from her ex-boyfriend's buddy, Lou.
Wow.
The issue is that Lou is often with her ex-boyfriend tonight, and I think he's putting Lou up to calling her. She doesn't even want to be friends with Lou, yet Lou keeps calling.
Yeah.
And that one, 25 to 26, right down the middle, people said he should not break up with her. Not helpful.
Well, you know, I think there's some good comments probably on that one. You know, some go, it's interesting, some things are clear cut, and, you know, you sort of read these postings, and you wonder why would someone sort of post that, because that's very clear cut.
Right, like, how could they have a question about that?
Well, you know, and some things are a heck of a lot more ambiguous. You know, for instance, you know, your wife was charged with a DUI. Your girlfriend was charged with a DUI. What, you know, maybe what do you want to do?
Leave her in jail, bail, move to another city.
Zach, what, I don't know if I asked this improperly last time, but what is it, where are you coming from that you thought of this site in the first place? I mean, what happened that spawned the idea?
Who touched you?
you know, my background is really just looking at, you know, my friends and I mean, I'm in a relationship, really date a great girl. I'm sure she's probably been on the site posting issues about me since I started it. But, you know, I think we all get advice from our friends, and that advice is invaluable. But I think it's nice to have a simple, you know, website, you know, where you can go on anonymously and say, you know, this is an issue I've been dealing with. As Lisa brings up, you don't always want to tell your friends all the time about the reoccurring issues that are going on. And, you know, this can, you know, possibly be a tipping point in, you know, for some people to act one way or the other, either to really appreciate and to realize what their issue is isn't that big of a deal, or to realize, you know, it is kind of a big deal. Because, you know, 100 people are saying it is, and I don't even know these 100 people, and they have no vested self-interest to, you know.
Sure. I think the best thing in the world would be if your girlfriend really did post something on the site, and then the viewers of your site actually got her to break up with you. I mean, that would just be the ultimate.
That would be something that I'm not looking to do.
Now, do you get some kind of feedback from people? Like, some of the examples are overwhelmingly, you know, breakup 39-3, 28-1.
Yeah.
Do you get some kind of feedback that people actually follow what this advice is?
I think that's something that we're going to do in the near future. Right now, on both on shouldibreakupwithher.com and shouldibreakupwithhim.com, we wanted the site to be very straightforward, very simple, and just to allow people to gather information about what it is that they want to do. And then going forward, we'll probably start doing some more, you know, interaction.
Am I... Am I mean if I think that everybody who does this, everybody who posts anonymously and asks other people if they should break up, are lame douchebags, guys and girls?
I don't think so. I think sometimes when you're in the middle of something, it's really hard to get a clear view of what's going on.
Right.
So you go to the internet.
You're too close
because
to
you've
it.
Got your, yeah, well, I mean, you've got your emotions all wrapped up in it. Yeah. And you know, there are good explanations for this and that, but sometimes when you add it all up, you realize you're an idiot.
And you need someone outside to tell you. And I think that there's also times in which, you know, there are issues you just don't want to talk to your friends about or your family
True.
About.
Yeah.
Sure.
So you go to the internet.
You know.
Zach, can you make money off this idea?
I don't know. I mean, after being on the world-famous K-Rock, you can't make money.
Yeah. Sure. This is going to be the death knell for your site. All right. It's shouldibreakupwithher.com, shouldibreakupwithhim.com. And if you want some anonymous feedback from people that have never met you or know you or they're not interested
and why
in you.
Why wouldn't you?
If you want to be a voyeur and just read some of the stuff because
sure.
it's kind of interesting.
Sure. You can do that as well. Yeah. All right, Zach, thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks so much, guys.
Bye now.
Bye.
Just announced this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, Jack Johnson's coming back to town. In fact, Ralph broke this news a few days ago about all of the Southern California dates that Jack is going to be having. Tickets going on sale this weekend to see him at UCLA and also at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. You can win tickets every single hour to one of those shows. And then four times a day at 8, which is coming up next hour, noon, 4 and 8, you get not only tickets, you get a custom autographed Jack Johnson surfboard and VIP invites to barbecue with Jack himself. So that's going to be all week right here on the world famous K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on?
Hey, Bean Baxter, you're super.
Let's take a look at the top 10 moves at the box office this weekend, shall we? The Incredible Hulk.
Hulk smash hit.
That's your impression?
Hit. See what I did there?
No.
Ralph.
Hulk smash hit.
I'm not familiar with that.
$54.5 million this weekend in its debut. Pretty spectacular. Kung Fu Panda. Still doing very well for itself. $34.3 million this weekend. The Happening pulled in $30.5 million of disappointed viewers' money.
Boy, I'll tell you, the way you talk about the ending, I can't imagine. I don't want to give it away if people are listening, but I can't imagine that was good. I don't know how anyone would ever come
up
with that.
It's not good. But at least for 2 hours, Mark Wahlberg is just running, running, and running, and running, and running, and hiding, and running, and hiding.
Argar, I want to talk to you about this because you're
okay,
the expert.
Okay, Mike. Let's
My
sit
friends
down.
And I were discussing this movie last night and looking at the critics' reviews and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is it officially over for him? Is this... Are finally people going to...
He made $30.5 million this weekend. How can
right.
it be over?
Huge promotion, everything, but like
his movies said, cost nothing to make.
Most everybody that went to see it will probably be disappointed.
People
but
just
people
don't get it.
People disappointed in his films... The past four films have been disappointing.
And still they
No one could have been more miserable than the people who saw Lady in the Water, myself included. Freaking horrible. And The Village, I was actually angry at that film when I walked out The Village.
You just don't get it, man.
I know. So just he's
too
deep.
He's come
too
a long way me. Since he was the cover boy on Time magazine with the slug line, is he the next Hitchcock?
That's right. He was going to be the new Hitchcock. And now he's the new Uwe Boll. Little joke for
I heard
geeks.
The movie company wouldn't let him have his patented cameo in this one, Ralph, that he always likes. He always likes to put himself
really? I thought
in the
he
movie.
Was in this.
And they said, no, not so much.
Huh. It's a shame, because he's a great actor. Speaking of actors, Mark Wahlberg stars in The Happening. Oh, we didn't do the rest of the top 10, did we? I'll go through it. Don't Mess with Zohan, number 4. Indiana Jones, 5. Sex in the City was number 6. Iron Man was number 7. The Strangers was 8. Then Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian, and What Happens in Vegas. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Mark Wahlberg stars in The Happening. And he was doing an interview for promotion for that film. And he talked about the fact that he turned down the role of Linus Caldwell in the Ocean's 11 trilogies. In the Ocean movies. Ocean 11, 12,
really?
And 13.
Right.
The movie that went to Matt Damon.
Yeah.
That role eventually. He went on to star in such classics... This is Wahlberg, of course, as Planet of the Apes and The Happening.
Sure.
And he told the Post-Chronicle that he still thinks the Ocean film sucked and he stands by his decisions for the movies that he made.
No
really?
Kidding.
He thinks the Ocean's
He's
movies
wrong.
Sucked?
He's wrong.
11 was great, I thought.
12 was good, too.
Yeah.
But all of them were better than Planet of the Freaking Apes, I'll tell you that much. Or The Freaking Happening.
That's what he has to tell himself.
Yeah.
The body's barely cold, and already the speculation has begun. Who replaced Tim Russert on Meet the Press?
Well, I know who it's going to be.
Shocking news over the weekend. Tim Russert died of a heart attack. You know who it's going to be, Bean?
I do.
Who is it going to be?
I hear that Doto has the inside track.
Really?
Oh, that would be the
I hear that Doto is going to be the new host of Meet the Press.
I would watch that every week.
Why do you think he will be president? George Stephanopoulos?
You're the best interview ever. Apparently, it's down to three possibilities, according to a source near NBC. Former White House correspondent David Gregory, Hardball host Chris Matthews, or the MSNBC's...
Sam Anderson?
No. The MSNBC's Morning Joe host, Joe Scarborough, who also did the theme for The Greatest American Hero.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
Same guy.
I never thought I could feel so free.
Different
flying along on a wing and a prayer.
Ralph,
who could it be?
Not interested.
Believe it or not, it's just me.
Let me tell you guys something. Many of our listeners may not watch Meet the Press religiously every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. as I do, but it is the number one of those political talk shows on the air.
Boring.
And it makes $50 million a year for NBC.
What?
$50 million a year for NBC. So there's a lot of consideration as to who the next host is going to be because it's a pretty valuable piece of real estate.
Why are you bad, America?
Have you ever watched it, Kevin?
No.
I watch it every week.
It's not bad or boring. It really isn't. I'm not a big
politics.
I'm not a big political guy, but when I watch it, I enjoy it. It's very interesting.
Not interested.
It was so sad and so shocking to lose Tim Russert on Friday at only 58 years old.
Yeah.
And talk about universally loved. I mean, did you see the coverage? It was like a head of state had died, the way the coverage was all weekend long.
Yeah, they did a really nice thing on Meet the Press. They did a whole hour on him. It was really nice.
Good dude.
Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee reportedly back together again.
Yes.
They just can't seem to stay apart. Apparently they've reunited because there are children involved. And those children are Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee.
Pam Anderson?
Yes. Yes, Leslie Nielsen.
Pam Anderson?
And would you like to have a body like a Playboy Playmate?
Pam Anderson?
Not personally, no.
The New York Daily News interviewed Playmate of the Year for 2008, Jade Nicole.
Is her name? What does that sound?
She attractive, Mike.
Is that good? Is that a positive?
Mike thinks she's attractive.
I don't know if it's good or bad.
By boiling water again.
Either he thinks she's attractive or he just stepped on a railroad spike.
Yeah. I can't tell what that is. Is that a good thing?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Uh-huh. Jade says the reason she's got such great abs...
Mm-hmm.
Is because she puts her seat all the way down in her car. What? And so as she drives, she has to hold herself up with her ab muscles.
Come on. That's not real.
Yes, it is.
Come on.
She says it really works out your core when you don't have no back to your seat and you're driving everywhere.
Why would you make that up?
I'm not making it up. That's her fitness plan for abs.
Just look at that.
That's what she said.
For good legs, Jade said she's taking the floorboards out of her car and just pushes it along the freeway.
Just runs?
Yes, like a Flintstone mobile. Today's celebrity birthdays, Harold Cho from Harold and Kumar. He's 36 years old today. Missy Peregrim from Reaper is 26. And I mentioned last hour I wasn't sure if Reaper had been picked up by the CW or not because I know it was on the bubble.
Yes.
Ratings-wise. We got a phone call from one of the writers over there at Reaper, and they said they have been picked up for a second season.
Oh,
so we will see more Reaper, which is good news because I love that show.
That's a good show.
Bunch of douchebags.
Oh, come on. They're going to come at the Reaper folk like that. And also, I neglected to mention this previously, but today is also our pal Petros Papadakis' birthday.
Yeah!
This was the end of last night's Laker game.
Off the inbound, Fischer the steal, and that will do it. The series is going back to Boston as the Lakers survive... Another furious comeback by the Celtics, 103-98.
That means the Lakers are not the only ones going back to Boston. Laker radio broadcast host Matt Money Smith, former sports guy of the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock, on the phone with us right now. It sounds to me like you're heading for the airport sometime today as well, Matt.
Yeah, a couple hours. We'll be on our way to Boston for game 6 and 7. 6 tomorrow, 7 on Thursday, if needed. And, you know, I think it's quite possible they might need it.
Now, obviously, the Celtics are great at home.
Yes.
They almost beat the Lakers last night for another home loss for the Lakers. Can the Lakers do this there?
I think so. You know, last night was an interesting game. It was similar to Game 4 in the sense that, you know, the Lakers rolled in that first quarter, got out to that 19-point lead, and then the Celtics erased just about all of it in the second quarter. I think the difference between last night's game and the game on Thursday, you know, which was the greatest collapse in the history of the NBA Finals.
It was.
And that's just not rhetoric. I mean, that's legitimate.
Yep.
That is the greatest collapse, was that they didn't get shaken. You know, the Celtics took that lead, took a 1 or a 2-point lead, I can't remember which, in the third quarter, and the Lakers went on a run right after that. In the fourth quarter, they tied it up at 90, and you saw them get a little bit of the jitters on that Thursday,
right.
In that Thursday game, and they just got tight. The shots were short, turnovers, and that wasn't the case, you know, and I think that was important to see because, you know, how would they respond to adversity for the second game in a row after seemingly having complete control early on? And I thought they did very well, and, you know, they played well in those two games in Boston. You know,
yeah.
It was really two quarters in that game two were the only two that were big disappointments. Otherwise, you know, I was telling someone last night, look, if you take a sheet of paper and you draw a line down the middle and you talk about runs, offense, defense, you know, and you just grade it by quarter, I think you'll probably come out just about even in this series.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, it is. I mean, which leads you to believe that anybody can win. You know, it's not like the Celtics have just dominated the Lakers, and you say, well, you know, this is pointless. We're going to Boston, you know, to get our asses kicked, and we're going to come home miserable. But I don't get the sense that's the way it's going to play
out. How much do you think last night's game was, even if you're going to win the championship, you're not going to do it at our home court?
Honestly, you know, if I had to put a percentage, maybe 5%.
Really? That's small.
They really believe they can win. They believed it after they lost game one. I mean, they were so confident after game one and just were really upset that they gave that game away. They felt like they gave that game away in the third quarter.
Right.
And after game two, they were kind of upset, but they felt real good about that fourth quarter and putting it on the Celtics and making them sweat at home after leading by 24. Ironically enough, the Celtics just hung on in that game. But, you know, and I think they were just, you know, they were destroyed. I mean, just destroyed after game four. And I'm sure there's probably still some of that hangover, even today, thinking, you know, we could be going back 3-2 instead, and we should be going back 3-2.
Right,
and
of course,
We just gave it up. So I think they're very confident.
We were talking earlier today, Money, about what a difference it seemed like the crowd made last night versus Game 4. You've been in the house for every single game. Did you see a lot more reaction from Laker fans last night than you did in the game before?
You know, Game 4 was weird, I think, in defense of the crowd. And I know a lot of people have been writing about the crowd and talking about the crowd. And, you know, as someone who's been to just about every NBA arena in the country, I'm telling you, they're all the same, believe it or not, with the exception of, like, Utah and San Antonio. And it's just the way those two arenas are built, where there's a whole lot of seats and not a lot of suites. It's louder in those two, I think, than any other place I go. But for the most, like, people are talking about, oh, Boston fans are so much better. My ass, they are. I mean, I was on the court for those two games, and I am telling you, that arena is almost identical in terms of, you know, attitude as the Staples Center, because the lower bowl is all, you know, a little more affluent with, you know, wealthy people,
right.
And the upper bowl is where the noise is coming from,
or right.
The upper ring, and it's very similar. So I think game four, people were just freaked out. I think, the high was so high. And, you know, they were so excited in that first quarter. And then the second quarter when they carried that 18-point lead into the half, that when it actually came apart in the third, and it came apart so quick, and it was so dramatic, I think they were just, you know, they were kind of just stunned, shocked, and didn't know what to do.
Let me ask you a coaching question, because I was a little bit confused. I haven't followed either team all season long the way you have, Money. But what was going on in potentially the last game of the NBA Finals to see players that we haven't seen for the whole playoffs? Mims for the Lakers and Tony Allen for the Celtics. What's the coaching philosophy behind putting in guys that have been sitting on the bench for a month in the last game?
We gotta create a black moment with Bean for that one. I don't know why, but for some reason, black people call Chris Mims. And Bean just did it. So I apologize for laughing when you said, what about Mims?
Well, I think it's because of the song. I think it's because of the Mims song. I think that must be what I was
thinking. What's happening with Mims?
You know what? I have no answer. When he put Chris Mims in, we just kind of looked at each other and went, Chris, you know, mouth the words Chris.
I would have been less surprised to see you in there last night. What's that deal?
That was weird.
I would assume when Phil went, hey, Chris, get in. What? Huh? Who? Wait,
yeah.
Here's what I think. Just to kind of speak for Phil and whether or not this is right, P.J. Brown is not an athletic dude. P.J. Brown is who's on the Celtics, you know, and because of the injury to their starting center, Kendrick Perkins, P.J. was getting all the playing time. He's 38 years old.
Right.
He can barely jump, but he's sizable. You know, he's got giant shoulders, and he's pretty bulky and can push people around. And Roni Turiaf, who is the Lakers' backup center, is more of slight build, you know, and it's more a leaper and a shot blocker as opposed to someone that can clear out space.
Right.
So that's probably what he was thinking, just wrong time. I mean, wrong time. Dude has not played 1 minute of the postseason.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it's an NBA, it's an elimination game in the finals, and clearly Chris, you know, even though I'm a big fan of his, was just not ready.
I'll tell you what was funny was the announcer in the building said his name like a question. He was like, coming into the game, number 31, Chris Mim.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I think that Lawrence Tanner has been doing it for, you know, 20-some years now. And I think what he did was he was trying to get people excited. He was like, and coming into the Lakers, Chris Mim.
He just sounded like he was not believing his own mouth.
Yeah, believe me, we were very surprised at that particular move.
No kidding.
Tony Allen is a guy that's big, by the way, for the Celtics, is big and could put a body on Kobe in that guard spot and try to make life tough for him. So that's probably what Doc was thinking.
Sure.
Let me play one piece of tape that I have not yet played here today, and I especially am excited to play it for you two guys, Money and Kevin, because you may not have seen this on the TV last night since you were actually at Staples Center. You know how they do the package? They do a tape package during every halftime. A couple games ago, they did the story of Phil Jackson. Well, last night, in honor of Father's Day, they had Bill Walton, former Celtic great, who, Kevin, I know you hate more than anyone in the world.
Hate that guy.
They had him interviewing his son, Luke, who plays for the Lakers, okay? And he's what is it about him that annoys you so much? He's super what?
I don't know. He's just a blowhard.
Hyperbole.
Yeah, it's the hyperbole, yes.
Okay.
He's just a blowhard. He's just so full of it.
Here he is in a very teary, heartfelt, I assume, moment with his son, Luke. And I think you guys will enjoy this tape very much. Bill Walton.
I just want you to know, Luke, that my love for you is endless and unconditional. And I'm the proudest and luckiest dad in the whole world. Thanks. Good luck.
I felt like I was watching The Bachelor for a minute when he came on with that. I thought it was a rose ceremony that was happening.
And that's why I'm picking Boston to win the series, son.
Yes, he is.
A-hole.
That is Bill. You know what's funny about Bill is now that I kind of had an opportunity to know Luke and get to kind of know what his dad is like and hear stories about how it's just his dad's personality. Luke, this dog you just bought very well could be the most beautiful dog in the history of the world.
Yeah, everything is the ultimate with him. That's the best play I've ever seen in my life.
Good God, look at the tires on this car you just purchased. I didn't know they made them this beautiful. Pretty great with his dad.
Oh, dear God.
It was funny tape. All right, Money, in our remaining seconds, you get the opportunity to address the Lakers ahead of going out in Boston Garden to play Game 6 tomorrow night. What's the one piece of advice you give them that's going to make the difference?
Well, I'm not really good with these speeches, so I'd probably steal a page out of, I don't know, Chevy Chase in Vacation when he was talking to the kids and Wally World was closed.
Excellent.
He said, that damn place isn't closed. We've come all this way and you're going to let some stupid moose tell you what the hell's going to happen? I don't know. That's the deal, man. You come this far, there's no reason to accept what most are suggesting is a fait accompli by the Celtics. You know, the series has been close. There's, you know, essentially, if you graded it out in quarters, and this could be the worst motivational speech.
No, this is good. Start with Vacation and then move on.
Exactly. Is that the Lakers, you could argue, have probably won more quarters in this postseason than the Celtics have. And just quickly, one stupid, dorky stat from the series. Last night was the first time of the five games players the five games played so far that the same team has won the first half and the second half, and that was the Lakers.
They won interesting.
For the first time this series. So it has been that close. They have the best player in the world on their team. There's no
Chris
reason
Mim?
To believe. They, yes, Chris Mim.
Chris Mim.
Chris Mim. Get it Mims. Right, Kevin. Chris Mim. there's no reason to believe they can't.
Bean has a nutty theory.
Yeah, Bean's full of crap.
And I don't know where he got the theory from. I think his own blog. That's where he gets most of his information from.
First of all, it's not a nutty theory. And second of all, I read it on the internet, so it must be true.
Was that craptoldfool.com?
Here's what I read, and I want to know why you mock it so, because it seems entirely plausible to me. What I read is that 1 in 4 Americans have been on television. That's what I read.
1 in 4.
A quarter of the entire population of the United States of America has been on television.
Millions and millions of people have been on television in one way or another. And when we started talking about it just briefly last week, we noticed that many of us have been on television completely aside from the fact that we are sometimes on television as a result of our job, just completely separate from that. I mean, I've been on CNN a couple times just as guy interviewed on the street, for instance, and there are millions of people just like that.
I've never been on TV except in connection with this job in some way.
Then you would be one of the three out of the four who hasn't then.
My first TV appearance was after a guy's parachute didn't open at the opening of some kind of spa or workout facility or something. The guy hit the ground, died. News cameras there. I was jumping up behind him going, hey, I'm on TV.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about, is that would totally count. I mean, if you had never been on television the whole rest of your life, you would have to be in the group of one of four who has been on TV, because you have.
I was on TV when I was 12 because I was given an award by the Philadelphia School Board.
For what? Gayness?
Some academic achievement thing. It was a bunch of kids giving awards, but they televised the school board meeting where they gave out the awards, and there I was on television. Like, age
we can't be typical.
Well, now
though.
You guys are proving.
No, but I mean, isn't that exactly what exactly what I was talking about? Is that things like that happen to 25% of the population? But it's not that far-fetched.
But my theory is that it has to be the big cities. There have to be whole states that haven't been on TV.
Kevin, you were in Arizona. Ralph was in Pennsylvania. I was in San Francisco, California, when those appearances that we just described happened.
Big cities.
But, I mean, something like the thing that you're talking about, Kevin, why wouldn't people in small towns also be jumping up and down behind the fool on the news as well?
Because they don't even have cameras in Iowa.
And speaking of Iowa,
does sketches and then holds them up to the TV screen when they do the news in Iowa.
Speaking of Iowa, did anyone turn on any news broadcast on any channel this weekend?
No.
Because of the flooding.
Yeah, there were hundreds of Iowans on television this weekend, exactly flying in the face of your theory that what about the small towns? Every person in Cedar Rapids, Iowa was interviewed this week on the news.
Yeah,
those people now have
there?
All been on television.
How many floods are there in the course
but
of...
But I'm just saying, that's just another example of thousands of people who now are in that one out of four who have been on TV. I think it's very plausible.
How many millions of people live here? 300? 350?
About 300 million.
300 million.
About 300, yeah.
Okay, so about roughly 75 million or something like that have been on TV. That's what you're saying.
Sometime, even if it's only for an instant, even if it's only you're the guy at the baseball game, and that's over the course of the last 75 years of television.
Are you counting if they shoot the Super Bowl, everybody in that crowd, whether you can distinguish their faces or not, those people have been on television for an instant?
I don't know how this survey was done, but in my mind, I don't count that as being on TV if you're part of a massive crowd seat. I think you have to be able to see the person
right.
that you're talking about.
Everyone in the Boston Marathon was on television because they shot up with a helicopter. I win! That's Bean's theory.
I'm not saying all that right. at all.
We are going to do a scientific survey. We have 8 phones on hold. So
okay.
If what Bean is saying is correct, only 2 of them have to have been on TV, right?
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
telling you, it's more. I'm telling you that I guarantee it'll be more than the 2. And we had these people call in before we started the conversation. So it's not like we said, hey, call now if you've been on television. These are just 8 random people who called this morning and they didn't know why. They're going to help us out with the theory, okay?
All right, let's go start with Daniel in Monrovia. Daniel's a security guard. Good morning, Daniel.
Hey, how's it going?
You been on TV before?
Yes.
Damn! You have. And for what?
I've interviewed for the Grand Prix of Long Beach. I was a spectator in Channel 5 News.
All right.
Okay. Wow. That's all I need to know. Thank you very much. All right. So you are a yes. You are a 1.
That's all I need to know.
Well, I'm just saying, we don't need any more details than that. Just yes or no, and if yes, how are you on TV?
Frank is a computer data entry engineer in Northridge. Good morning, Frank.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Frank.
You been on TV?
Yes, I have, actually.
Doing what?
Some car accident on the corner of my elementary school way back when.
They interviewed you as a kid?
Yeah, a couple of times here and there.
All right, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
But big city.
It's 2.
It is Los Angeles, television capital of the world.
Right, big city is what I'm saying.
I'm saying they do news in every town with cameras that go out to car crashes. Well, it's true. You can mock it, but they do have news in other cities besides Los Angeles.
All right, April 27 from Calabasas, a bookkeeper. Good morning, April.
Hey, guys.
Hi. Been on TV?
I have. I was at the X Games, and I was holding a sign for Travis Pastrana.
3 for 3.
Gave you a close-up.
Wow. Of a gun.
But she had a sign. All right. Thank you.
That counts. Eric in construction on line 4.
Yeah,
hi, Eric.
Yeah,
Eric. How's Mr. Khan, first of all?
fine.
You've been on TV, dude?
Yeah, I was on an old game show back when I was in elementary.
Come on!
Bean asked for these people.
I think these people are making crap up.
Oh, that's what's happening. Yeah, Dave in the other room is like, tell him you've been on
television. You've been on television.
Let's try Carl
Bean
playing
$100.
He's on line five. Hey, Carl. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Been on TV?
Absolutely.
Son of a bitch!
What did you do?
I was on America's Got Talent last season.
Oh, my God.
Jeez, he's been on real TV.
What did you do on America's Got Talent?
I played bass for a pop singer here in L.A., Marin. We were on and got judged by the Hoff and the whole nine yards.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Congratulations.
All right, well, that's only five out of five.
That's for everyone. That's all.
Keep going. I want to see.
Yeah,
let's
great.
Let's see what James in Glendale has to say on line six. Good morning, James.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi.
Been on TV?
Make it six for six. I've done a commercial.
Son of a...
Did a commercial?
Are you an actor?
No, not at all.
You did a commercial? For what?
Yeah. The tutoring center I used to work at, they used... me and my girlfriend, because we were the best looking tutors at the company. So
check me out.
All right. It's not hard to be the best looking guy at Sylvan.
I hope you and your life partner have a happy wedding tomorrow.
All right, that's only six for six.
That's only 100% so far.
Let's see what Albert has to say on line seven. Good morning, Albert. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. TV, yes or no?
No.
Yes. Oh!
Never been on television. How ugly must you be,
loser?
Oh wait.
I haven't been on TV, but I'll make sure that when I get chased by the police, I'll let Psycho Mike know.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Give us a wave.
All right,
we're number one.
Six and one. Let's try Lorraine, our final call in our purely unscientific survey. Lorraine, TV, yes or no?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
see,
okay.
Only six out of eight, Bean.
Yeah. So three out of four.
Your statistic is wrong.
Your statistic
only
is 75%. Wait,
yeah.
You're 50% off.
Yes.
We'll take your apology now.
Go ahead.
What? Well, I'm not going to apologize.
I'm just saying.
But that was representative of the people.
By 50%.
I wasn't wrong. And when it averages out across the whole country, there may be three out of four here, but it may be less than that someplace else. I think it averages out nationwide. It probably turns out that the whole average is one out of four.
Oh, you.
We got this thing called the Afro Line that's up and running 24 hours a day for your entertainment and amusement. 323-520-AFRO. I had to keep my phone number straight there for a minute. You can call anytime around the clock. Leave a message. We play them back on the air.
Even at 5:30 a.m.
Kevin and Bean, I was driving home after the last call, and it's 5:30 in the morning, and I'm still driving home because I got really f***ing lost. And I don't know where I live, so help me out.
But he knows our phone number.
Yeah, I don't know how to help him out when he calls an answering machine at 5:30 in the morning.
And if you're driving so drunk you can't remember where you live, perhaps it's time to pull over.
Maybe you should pull over and sleep it off.
Maybe.
Saw it happening. It blows. There has never been a movie that sucked so much in the history of things sucking than The Happening. They should have named it The Non-Happening. The Not Going to Happen. The Never Did Happen. The M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong blows.
Ralph tried to warn everybody away from that film on the Movie Beat on Friday. All you had to do was listen.
Yeah.
Psycho Mike has some magic shoes, and they are responsible for the Lakers' wins.
Okay.
And we tried to pass them off to Money, who refuses to wear them because he says they're a little too tight. This Laker fan, not going to hear of it.
Damn you, Money. You wear the goddamn shoes. Do you understand me, Money? You wear the goddamn shoes. We barely won this game. Freaking... I don't want to hear it. Shut up, Money. Shut up. You go to Boston, you sit your ass down, you wear the shoes, and you shut up. You understand me? If you blow this for me, Money, I swear to God. I swear to God if you blow this one.
He just has to sit. How bad could it be?
My idea for the future Kevin and Bean show, Lisa May, Miss Double December, and a cup.
All right.
Please enjoy this thought for a few minutes while you throw up.
God.
Yeah. Rather not have that very last part.
Yeah.
But okay.
Have you guys ever thought about this? The songs Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and the Alphabet song? Same effing song, different lyrics. What the hell's up with that? We're not teaching our children anything. Bullcrap.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Bean's wife. Isn't that an oxymoron?
Got a call from a juror in the R. Kelly trial.
We, the jury, find the defendant R. Kelly not Guilty. Not guilty.
On all counts.
Do you think R. Kelly goes back to the crib after he's acquitted of 14 child porn and molestation charges? Do you think he goes back and he sits there with his friends and he goes, I was on tape. They had a video of me committing the crime and I still got acquitted. Isn't America a great country?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. We were talking earlier, it's really getting annoying, this black justice. They get all the breaks.
That's right, man.
We, the poor white people, don't get anything. At the Laker game last night, it occurred to me that Knott is fully back. I think it was an interview with Sasha or somebody, Vujicic, and it was talking about golfing. And he said, my score is really great, Knott.
Oh, no.
And I realized that it's over.
Well, Dave's got the network, and he put out the word that Knott was going to make a return in 2008, and it took about 2 weeks for it to take over America.
Dave, the King of Mexico, I think we need to bring back As If 2. All right.
I forgot about As If.
Not As If, really. Seriously. We get our share of calls for Lisa.
Hey, Lisa May. What's up? Nice boobs.
Not really a lot of content.
Does that work? Not a lot of content?
Not a lot of content.
How about this guy?
Hi, Lisa. Hey, what's up? It's Adam. I want to lick you. I want to lick you from your toes. I really like your eyebrows. I want to lick your eyebrows. Lisa.
What?
Lisa, call me. I want to lick your underarms. Bing.
Ew.
Is that sexy?
No.
Your
it's
underarms.
Not sexy.
So that doesn't work for you. Okay. All right. 323-520-AFRO. Ralph, showbiz beat is...
Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday? What's Hollywood talking about, Ralph?
In case you missed the verdict on Friday, the R. Kelly child porn trial is over. And the verdict? Not guilty on 14 counts.
Wow.
Well, they had no evidence. So there was no record of the crime, Ralph.
Well, they did have a videotape of R. Kelly and the underage girl.
That's not proof.
And the prosecutors did call 15 witnesses who said, yeah, the girl in that tape is R. Kelly's goddaughter. Three family members said it. Three childhood friends said it. Two junior high basketball coaches. And another woman who says that she was engaged in a three-way with Kelly and the girl in his log cabin-themed basement on the floor of his indoor basketball court.
Yeah,
and then
but
the juror said, we can't tell if that's the girl in the video or not.
But
that's what they said, but still.
But he's on video. They've got video of the whole thing.
You can doctor that up.
Yeah. Look, wasn't at one point, Ralph, wasn't some of the, this is a word I have trouble saying, obfuscation that the defense tried to throw at the jury, was that somebody, that a couple had broken into R. Kelly's house and filmed a video and then digitally altered it to make it look like R. Kelly and the girl?
Yes.
Because it was shot in his house.
Yes.
And they bought that. They said, yes, let's let him off.
And what about the disappearing mole? What about that?
Yeah, he didn't have a mole. R. Kelly's got a mole.
Yeah.
And, you know, moles can't just show up
and then
over a number of years
again.
And then show up.
Guys, I hate to get into a heavy topic here, but is the jury system, has its time come and passed? Is it time for a better system than allowing a jury of your peers to decide anymore?
All of us felt the grayness of the case, one juror explained.
The grayness?
It's pretty gray. I don't know. Videotape evidence, guy doing the act right in front of our eyes. That's a gray area for me. It's more like a yellow area, I think, if you saw the video.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes, we do.
I don't think you know what I'm
saying. I know exactly what you're saying.
I don't think you know.
I didn't see the video because it would have been illegal, but
I read a big article, I think, in the Chicago Tribune over the weekend that talked about numerous underage girls that R. Kelly has allegedly had sex with that he's then paid off, and there's been no trial. This one just happened to have gone to trial because of the video, but apparently it's pretty common in the R. Kelly world.
I wonder why the goddaughter wouldn't testify.
I can't imagine.
That's more ugly. Legal news. Snoop Dogg's wife was arrested for DUI in Fullerton over the weekend. Police say Shante Brodus, of course, Calvin Brodus is Snoop's real name, got popped around 12:15 a.m. Saturday. They took her to jail, and she was cited for misdemeanor DUI. She'll have a court appearance coming up soon, so that's bad.
That is some good sound effect work there, Bean.
See, well, the dog father.
She's Mrs. Snoop Dogg.
Yes, that was strong.
Brought by the way, if you've seen her mugshot picture, it's also
good. Oh, how dare you.
I'm just saying.
Would she technically be the dog's bitch?
I guess she would.
Yeah,
staying with the dog theme.
I guess.
The female dog.
Now that's a dog.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Incredible Hulk, as expected, was number one at the box office. $54.5 million in its debut. Kung Fu Panda.
Yay!
Hey!
$34.7 million made it number two this weekend. The Happening. Disappointed audiences all over America to the tune of $30.5 million. I would like to know if there was some sort of refund program, how many of those people would ask for that $30.5 mil back. Plus damages. You Don't Mess With the Zohan was number four. Indiana Jones was five. Sex in the City, Iron Man, The Strangers, Chronicles of Narnia, What Happens in Vegas, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend.
I saw the Iron Man over the weekend. Last guy in America to see it. Of course, it's great. You all know that. But they had the trailer for the Zohan movie ahead of the Iron Man. And I sat there thinking, like, really? Kevin went to see that movie that I just saw advertised in that trailer. When he's doing the thing with the foot where he's going, smell it, smell it, smell it, smell it. That you saw that and made you want to go see that movie.
But then he followed it up with, now take it, and kicked him.
Right, but you saw that trailer. Yes. I want to make sure I understand. You saw the trailer that I saw yesterday for Don't Mess With the Zohan, and you said, I want two more hours of that.
Yeah,
that's what happened.
Here's the thing: when you see
what is the thing, Kevin?
Explain this to me. I really want to know.
When you see a trailer,
a
lot of times it can be nowhere near as good as the movie. The payoff is so much better than the trailer.
Uh huh.
That doesn't really happen as much as
the
trailer makes it look really good.
The trailer puts the best parts in, trying to suck you in and make you spend your money.
And that's usually the case. That was this case.
Yes.
But I was hopeful.
He's waving his foot in front of a guy's face, and he's saying, smell it, smell it, smell it, smell it. And that was in the trailer. And then you went to see the movie, though. That's what I want to make sure I understand. Am I clear on that? Do I have that right?
You said the potential payoff of that foot-smelling, smacking scene is so irresistible, I must go.
It turns out there was a bit of an overpromise there.
I wish there would have been a bit of way, maybe somehow.
Yeah, well.
The foot-smelling and slapping scene wrote a check that movie couldn't cash?
That's correct.
I find that hard to believe.
That is correct.
I really was less surprised by the R. Kelly verdict than I was by anyone going to see Zohan after seeing the trailer.
You don't know, man. You don't know.
Stressful moment for Jennifer Garner, which I hate. You know, I don't want her to have any stress in her life.
Sure.
Because
sure.
I love her so much. She accidentally locked her keys in her Lexus while shopping this week in Brentwood. The real problem was her daughter Violet was in the car at the time.
Ooh.
Mm. Now, fortunately, Jennifer was able to talk the two-year-old who was holding the keys into pushing the button that opened the door.
Oh, wow. Well,
she's a special agent.
Smart kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all is well, but that's got to be rough.
Yeah.
It's got to be a scary moment when you know the kid's inside and it's maybe getting warm.
Okay. Yeah. I need to not hyperventilate here. There's a kid locked in my car. What do I do besides break through the window? And Katherine Heigl, I mentioned last week that she slammed her writers on Grey's Anatomy by telling the press that she wasn't entering the Emmy race this year because she wasn't given the material that was Emmy worthy.
There's something wrong with that child. You just don't say things like that.
As we expected, the New York Post says that Catherine Slam may be her way.
What the F was that?
What was that noise?
I think that was Bean burping.
Did one of your pigs
gurgling?
Just come into the studio
I didn't even hear a noise.
There was one.
There was
because you went
like a
I'm sorry. I did not hear anything.
Guttural utterance.
It sounded like the things that you hear in hostel that you don't see. Like it's just
I apologize if it came from this side. I did not hear anything.
Well, it didn't come from us.
It was something.
Okay.
I think Ham Sandwich is busy rooting around under your desk or something.
Mike, I think we need that tape so we can figure out what that was.
Trying to do a show here.
Don't sound sexy.
Anyway, the New York Post says that this is Catherine's way of getting Grey's Anatomy let her out of her contract before it's up so she can go on to make some movie roles. So she cheeses off enough people. Over there at GA, they think they'll cut her loose and she can be on her merry way. Because she doesn't want to play Izzy anymore. It's common knowledge.
So. All right.
That's all you have to do.
Makes sense.
Let's get out of your contract. I guess just be a bitch.
Put her in a coma, guys. If the TV writers are listening, just put her in a coma or just make her lay in bed for the whole season.
But she has to move every once in a while so that it can't use the same tape.
Yeah.
I would have her just bring coffee to all the other characters. Hey, I'm going out to the cafeteria to get some coffee. Would you like some? Yeah, Izzy, thanks. So anyway, doctor, I think you need to operate right away. Here's your coffee. Thanks, Izzy. No, seriously, we're going to go in there. We're going to take out her heart, put it on her chest, and then fix the problem. I'm going to get a sandwich. Anybody want anything? Just run food for the rest of the doctors on the show.
I like it.
Today's celebrity birthday is John Cho.
Hey!
From Harold and Kumar is 36 years old today. Missy Peregrine, who of course is on Reaper. Oh, she's so good on that show. We got the good news today from one of the writers that Reaper has been picked up for a second season by the CW, so we'll get a chance to see that again this upcoming year. She's 26 years old today. And our good friend Petros Papadakis celebrates his, I don't know, what's he, 50?
31st.
50?
31.
He's 31?
Yes.
Yeah, he looks rough, doesn't he?
Crap.
He does look rough.
Wow.
He's aging like Vince Vaughn.
We got to check him into a clinic or something.
What kind of a clinic?
I don't know. He's got something bad.
He's got to at least have his blood replaced at a minimum.
Yeah. I heard sometimes when he's on the radio over there on that AM talk show he does,
yeah.
He goes,
brrr. Does he?
Yeah, that's how sick he
ridiculous.
Is.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're sorry. Your
missed
first dial is 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Hey, Snoop, how about a little less yelling at us and a little more keeping your wife in line? How about that?
Come on.
1-800-520-1067. Get on the air for Kevin Beans' What It Do, Nephew. And today you get a great prize. It's a copy of The Bourne Conspiracy, which is supposed to be very, very good for Xbox 360 and a brand new Aleaf Jawbone Bluetooth headset. All of that just for being on the air with the Kevin Beans' Sean K-Rock.
All right. Let's begin with Cameron, who is calling from Huntington Beach. Good morning, Cameron.
Hi there.
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Cameron?
Not so much. Actually, it was really funny. This morning, after listening to Ralph's Showbiz Beat about 8 o'clock and hear about that chick's new ab workout about driving with the seat down,
I
seriously saw a girl driving that way.
No, you didn't.
I am not surprised.
Trying it, the power I wield.
Seriously, yeah, go Ralph. I thought, no way. I started looking for it. I had about 20 miles to go. I just had to go to the parents' house and back for stuff that I left there yesterday for Father's Day. I saw about 12 more people doing it.
Okay, Cameron, you saw 12 people doing it.
Yeah.
I'm going to patent
it. All right. As much as I want
rock hard abs, try the Ralph Garman ab workout.
As much as I want more details about where you were driving and why, by the way, good part of that story. For folks who didn't hear, this was a Playmate who was saying this,
right? The 2008 Playmate of the Year, not just a Playmate.
Jade Nicole.
She makes Mike scream like he's been pierced.
She said she keeps her seat back all the way down so that she has to hold herself up by her stomach.
She's got to pull herself up with her ab muscles while she's driving because there's no back to her seat. And she says that's what gives her a rock hard ass.
What could make traffic better than that?
That's what's going to kill her.
It's got to be safe to drive that way, right?
Sure.
Let's go to Leo in Hacienda Heights. Good morning, Leo.
Good morning.
What'd it do?
I just wanted to know with the whole R. Kelly thing. If they can't prove it was him and they can't prove the girl was underage, does that mean the tape's going to be legal?
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Well, you don't want it to be, I'll tell you that.
Sell it to Wicked.
Wow.
Let's take a look.
That's very interesting.
Let's get the good quality one, too, not the grainy one.
No one's going to want it, but that's very interesting.
Yeah, I just want to know, too, like, because I'm Mexican, does this mean I get to play the race card now?
Sure. Absolutely.
Sure. Go find yourself a girl and get wet.
Thank God.
All right. Let's go to...
Great question, by the way. I like the way he's thinking.
Eric in Roland Heights. Good morning, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Come on, what it do, baby boo?
What it do, Eric?
Yeah, Eric.
Okay, we were bowling at the Lucky Strike in Hollywood on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a... you're not allowed to wear any type of like white shirts in there. So we're bowling. And,
wait a minute.
Yeah, the no white shirt policy.
Why?
I don't know, because it's gang related or something.
Wait.
So now red is out.
Uh-huh.
Blue is out. And now white is out?
White is the new blue and red.
Yeah. So they gave my friend a hard time. So my other friend had to give him a sweater to get in. And we look over to the side, to the next lane. And Jesse Metcalf from Desperate Housewives is bowling, like, in a plain white T-shirt. And
how dare he?
Yeah, so we're like, well, you know, what's going on? Only because he's a celebrity or what? So we go and we tell the bouncer because we don't think that's cool. And he ends up getting kicked out.
Nice.
Really? Yeah,
I like it.
He ends up getting kicked out. And what the funny thing was is that he ends up sending three girls over to our lane. And the girls are like, I don't know what they were, but they were like... my friend Jesse wants to know if you guys got a problem with him wearing a white shirt. He's waiting for you guys outside.
Yeah, he's going to throw down, Eric.
Fantastic.
He's going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
Isn't Jesse Metcalf the one, Ralph, who was on some sort of video on one of the sites where he just got the crap beaten out of him by a guy outside of a club?
I remember something like that.
He got KO'd one punch knockout.
Yeah, face to face with some guy.
The reason I remember so much because the guy who knocked him out had fingerless gloves on, and Dave's like, see?
Oh,
I told you.
God.
All right, thank you
no
for the
white
call.
Shirts, by the way. It's just kind of a
what's up with that?
Honked up. Punk. You don't need those white shirts coming in all willy-nilly.
And if Jesse Metcalf wears a white shirt in the place, he's not a known gang affiliate. I think you're safe with Jesse Metcalf wearing a white shirt.
Let's talk to Justin in Upland. He's on line 5. He has a complaint for you, Ralph Garman, as the host of the Movie Beat.
Yes.
Hi, Justin. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew? What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do, Justin?
I loved The Happening.
Well, you're wrong.
I thought it was a really great B-movie. It was funny, but it wasn't supposed to be. I think it was kind of supposed to be, but it was overacting, and there was cheesy lines and dialogue, and I thought people in the audience was having a good time.
It was. You're saying it was bad enough to be entertaining, even though that's not what he intended?
So bad it's good.
Okay.
All right.
Well, yeah. I can live with that.
I can buy that.
I saw it twice this weekend, and I enjoyed it both times.
Okay, you didn't see it twice this weekend, though.
I saw it Friday and Saturday.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah. I have friends who love bad movies, too, and they say it's just too dull to be good. It's too dull to be bad good because it just goes on and on and on.
Justin went twice.
Yeah, well, there you go.
All right. You win, Justin, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. Let's talk to Mike. This sounds like maybe the best call ever. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
What it do?
I'm sitting here. What it do, nephew? What it do, baby?
What it
blah,
do?
Blah, 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 blah.
I'm heading down the 210 right now, and I've seen some distractions on the freeway, but this lady topped it. She has, like, what it looks like a spider monkey running around her chest and up her head, and she's sitting here fighting to get it off and put it in the down of the chair. She's swerving all over.
Wait a minute.
My God.
You're saying you saw a lady driving a car with a spider monkey crawling all over her?
I think it's a spider monkey, but I know it's a monkey for sure, but she's just swerving down the road trying to fight this monkey off and put it down in the seat.
Does she need help?
I have no idea.
Maybe it wasn't a pet. Maybe it just jumped in her window.
Not her monkey.
This is it, the beginning of the end. Monkeys
are taking over.
We've been seeing this for a long time.
Maybe the car's a rental and someone just left it in the back seat.
Wow, we are not safe anymore on the freeways.
Freaking
monkey
owners.
Monkeys.
I hate them, man. Monkey's going to get control of that car, and then who knows what he's going to do with it.
It's a high-speed monkey chase.
That's right. Next thing you know, he's heading to the flea market in Santa Monica. He's going to start running out old people. I mean, there's no telling what he might do. That's fantastic. All right. I want to thank all of our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, Lorelei Starbuck, for joining us. Like, that's a real name. She runs the Hollywood Chapel at thehollywoodchapel.com if you're looking for a place to get married. Also, thanks to, what's our guy? Zach Kidd for joining us. ShouldIBreakUpWithHer.com is the website. Not sure why. And thanks to former sports guy Matt Money Smith for joining us. He, of course, with the Laker radio team. You can see him or hear him on AM 570 starting at 5 o'clock for the pregame for tomorrow night's Game 6, Lakers-Celtics.
Speaking of which, we're going to try and get by the way, we got a break for that tomorrow.
Oh, good.
To dissect what happened. We're going to try and get a hold of Flea talking about the Lakers.
Okay.
Who was he talking to last night? I saw him for just a second on this.
I don't know. I didn't see that, but I was there and I saw, like, in the fourth quarter, they put the Jumbotron on him. I don't know if it was on TV or not, but the Jumbotron there in the play. He was screaming like a crazy man, veins popping out of his neck and just going nuts.
Now, Kiedis was there, too. He was talking to somebody famous. I can't remember who he was sitting next to, but half the Chili Peppers were in attendance.
That's correct, yes.
Was that Donald Sutherland sitting next to Nicholson last night, Ralph?
I don't believe so.
I don't know.
They didn't point him out, but it looked like him. I was just wondering.
Also tomorrow, I think we're going to be able to talk to Sasha Vujacic from Boston. He, of course, with the Lakers. New Music Tuesday, The Offspring, Coldplay come out tomorrow. We got D.L. Hughley in the studio. R. Kelly, innocent, really? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Acquitted. 14 counts.
Right, but really?
Yep. No evidence. Pay no attention to that videotape.
Okay. That's all tomorrow morning. And don't forget Jack Johnson. We're going to give you tickets to see him. And at 8, noon, 4 and 8, you can win not only tickets, but you get a custom autographed Jack Johnson surfboard and VIP invites to have a barbecue with Jack.
And Kat Corbett will give you a chance to win every single hour here on K-Rock during her show. Brett Smiley is our latest winner here in the 9 o'clock hour of the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. So thanks to Brett in Orange for listening. 40 minutes.